You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're addressing the difficulty many of us have with meeting new people and how I feel that that difficult situation is directly related to the way that we were raised. You know, I know that some of us have heard about stranger danger. I know that many of us know that in school we were taught not to talk to strangers, that talking to strangers was a bad thing. Remember, we were talked about code words and things to remember. And if that person doesn't know your code word that your parents came up with, then don't talk to them. Never take anything from a stranger. Never talk to a stranger. Never make eye contact with a stranger. And I remember growing up, going to school, and they would teach you these things. I remember it. And right before I started the show, I called up about four of my friends that we still see each other on a weekly basis. We grew up together. We went to elementary school together. We went to middle school together. We went to high school together. We went to separate colleges, but we still hang out today. And you know, the thing is that we all had classes that taught us to stay away from strangers. You know, I asked two of my friends in particular, and they told me that their parents also were big proponents of not talking to strangers and how strangers could hurt you. And you know what? I don't really remember my mom or dad really talking about that. But I do remember sometimes them telling me, you know, hey, you don't know that person. Or, hey, remember, you know, just to be careful. And I listened. I heard. It resonated to a point. But for the rest of it, it didn't really matter. I like to talk to anybody and everybody I saw. I'm one of those big proponents of when you walk down the street and you get eye contact from someone, you say hi. Not only do you say hi, I'll take it a step further. I ask them how they're doing. And it wasn't until the other day where I was talking to a friend of mine. We were in the elevator. We were going up to a meeting. And before we'd gotten in the elevator, I had seen someone. And I said, hey, how you doing? They're like, hey, how are you doing? I'm good. How about you? And they looked at me and they said, you know what? It's amazing how when you talk to people, they open up. And I said, why is that so amazing? They go, because most people don't. And most people just say hi, and you figured it out. And through my life, I figured out a lot of things about communication, talking to people, reasoning with people, finding harmony with people, loving people, finding commonality with people. And all these things to me are really important. And they're really important because, think about it. When I go down the street, I don't know a stranger. When I go to the grocery store, I don't know stranger. There are no strangers to me because I've met everybody. And if I haven't met them yet, I will meet them. Because I feel, what is the reason to keep ourselves contained in a small group of friends or a small group of acquaintances? Because they're no longer strangers. And because I want to give you a little simple tip right now. And this is something you're not going to hear anywhere else. Half of the people that you actually communicate with are strangers to you. You don't know who they really are. They don't talk about their personal life. And you really don't know that much about them. So what's the difference between a friend and a stranger? Honestly, think about it. A lot of us put ourselves in these bubbles. Well, I don't know that person. They're a stranger. Well, they're only a stranger until you meet them. And I find it ironic and interesting about how nowadays people find a difficult time meeting people. I have a lot of clients come into my office and tell me about how they can't meet someone, they can't make dates, they can't find someone. And so instead, because the world seems like such a cold place, because they can't ever meet anybody new, they go to internet dating. And I'm not getting down on internet dating. I'm not getting down on internet dating, everybody. Okay, call off the attack dogs. Okay, call off the cops. I'm not getting angry about it. But I am saying that I think that we allow ourselves to get inundated in a system that's not really relevant. I think anybody can meet anybody they want to meet. It doesn't have to be about everybody's a stranger, everybody's rude or what have you. A lot of this is all based on our own perception. And if we think that strangers are scary and that meeting strangers is a scary situation and can put us in a bad position, then that's going to be a problem. As well as if you were taught that strangers are bad or that you should never talk to strangers, you could have a double complex, a guilt/scared complex, meaning that you're going against what you're taught. And so not only do you might reap some benefits from the fact of meeting new people, but at the same time, you feel guilty about doing it. There's a lot of religions based on this. And a lot of times we have this guilt feeling where we just feel overly guilty about doing things against what we've been taught. And so tonight I really want to talk about the concept of meeting new people, about overcoming the stigma of stranger danger, and how I honestly believe that a lot of our social anxiety is based on the concept of not talking to strangers. I think that a lot of social anxiety and anxiety disorders are based on things that we were taught a long time ago. And think about it. If you were taught in school and by your family that strangers are dangerous and that you should never talk to strangers, as you grow up and you begin to talk to strangers, you might learn something, but you're going to feel guilty about doing it. On the flip side, if you've been taught this your whole life and instead of going against what you're taught, you follow it to the T, to the letter, you're going to feel like the world's a scary place because you're not going to know anybody. You're going to have this small little circle of friends and that's it. And to me, life is too short to go through life like that. It's way too short. I like to know everybody. I have some friends, and my husband also calls me Crocodile Dundee. And I got the name Crocodile Dundee for one main reason. Okay. Years ago, Greg and I were in New York. And if a lot of my listeners know that Greg is from New York, and so we go up there to visit his family. And the first year we went up there, we weren't married yet. And the last 2 days of the trip, instead of being in upstate New York, we went to the city because his family has a place in the city. And so we left the apartment, we put our stuff in the apartment, got changed, and it was pretty chilly. It was during the Christmas holidays. And we went out into the city and we were going to go around Lincoln Center. We were going to walk around everywhere. I hadn't been in New York since I was a lot younger, so we were going to look at absolutely everything. And I love New York. I've been there several times, but I love the city, and I love the character, and I love the energy and the vibrations, and yeah, I like it. So we're there, and we're walking down the street, and within the first minute, I get out of the elevator into the sidewalk. Somebody makes eye contact with me. I say hi. Next thing you know, the next person. And it gets to the point where I've already said hi to 100 people, and we've only been walking for a couple of minutes. And I don't remember if you remember those movies, Crocodile Dundee, but he goes to New York at one point in time, and it's the same thing. He says hi to every single person he sees. And I do it, too. I do it no matter where I am, no matter what city I am. I say hi. I actually go even further than that. And so I had some conversations starting. I had some people say hi back. I had some people look at me funny. I had some people kind of look at me and then look to the ground. I had some people kind of do a little semi-wave. I had some people just completely look me in the eyes and keep on walking. They didn't know where I'd come from. I must have been dropped from somewhere from outer space. And that's the way I live my life, though. Because I do that because you never know who you're going to meet and you never know why you're in the position. And there's a lot of people out there, a lot of authors and philosophers that talk about how important it is, you know, to meet people and to know that there really isn't ever really a stranger. You know, I mean, for the most part, if you think about it, everybody comes into our lives. I mean, everybody comes into our lives for a reason. Shannon Adler said there are no coincidences in life. What people that wander in and out of your life was there for some reason, even if they caused you harm, Sometimes it doesn't make sense the short periods of time we get with certain people or the outcomes from their choices. However, if we turn it over to God, he promises that we will see the big picture in the hereafter. Nothing is too small to be a mistake. And I find that very poetic in the nature when we talk about strangers. I don't believe there's really any stranger at all. I believe we can choose to keep people at arm's distance. I believe we can choose to keep people as a stranger, or we can choose to get to know them, or we can choose to accept the fact that maybe we're in a shell, that we're following some sort of antiquated system that we learned a long time ago that no longer serves us as adults. Tonight we'll be talking about strangers, stranger danger, as well as how to meet new people, overcoming the social anxiety, in creating a new, getting to know you. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the difficult time in meeting new people. How a lot of us tend to feel that meeting new people is very hard, very difficult. A lot of us feel unsuccessful when it comes to meeting new people. And we feel unsuccessful because we don't know where to meet new people. We don't know how to find new people. We don't know where to go to meet new people. But it's funny that we overlook our normal life situations. We overlook what's happening right now, right here, right now. I mean, I meet new people on the way to the car. I meet new people at the grocery store. I meet new people taking public transportation. I meet new people in my car sometimes when I'm stopped at a light and people roll down the window and start talking. I meet people absolutely everywhere. You know what? For most women, too, let's just put it out there. For most women out there, you meet new people where? You meet new women in the bathroom. Waiting in line in the bathroom. Guess what? You talk to people, right? You're no longer strangers then. I mean, when you're at a baseball game or a ball game, think about how many times you have to go to the restroom, how many times you talk to new people. What about when you're sitting next to somebody on the plane? How does that rock and roll for you? I mean, when I'm sitting next to somebody on the plane, I give them distance. I give them, I give them quiet. I give them peace. But I'll tell you, within a certain amount of time, we're talking. And some of us make a connection immediately. Some of us don't. I've even known people that have made a love connection meeting on the plane. Yep, it happens. But we have to be open and willing to understand that sometimes we will meet people in the most interesting of situations. But is it really that interesting? Think about it. Okay, so the other day I'm on a flight and I sit down and the lady was already sitting down that was in the window seat. I had the aisle. It was just a two-seater. Left side was three seats each. Right was two seats. And I sat down and we started talking. She had a bag of chips. I don't normally eat chips, but when I eat chips, I eat these kind of chips. I don't normally drink beer, but when I drink beer, I drink Dos Equis. I normally don't eat chips, but when I eat chips, I eat these particular chips. And they're really good. And we started talking about these chips. She had a bag of them. And that led into another conversation about health and all this stuff. And that led into another conversation about where she lived and where I lived and all that good stuff. And then she looked at me in the middle and kind of goes, in the middle of the flight and goes, you know what? She goes, I think it's interesting how I picked to sit in the seat. And I go, explain. So she told me that she had made the flight arrangements over a month prior to the flight. And that to me is like a year before the flight, because if anybody knows me really well, you know that Ashley has a tendency of unfortunately not making her travel plans with enough time to get good deals on flights. And that's a lot of it because of my work schedule, yeah. But, you know, I had made the flight probably a little more than a week and a half before I had to go. And she said she made hers a little more than a month before, and she had picked out that particular seat. And it wasn't anything really special about the seat. You're in the middle of the plane. You're not in the front of the plane. You're not in the back of the plane. You're not any place special. You're not on an exit row in the middle of the flight. She goes, but I wanted to sit there. And I said, well, it's interesting you say that because normally wherever I'm positioned on a plane, there's a reason to be there. And about 20 minutes into that, after that, we started talking about birthdays. And she told me that her birthday was in June. And then I go, oh, yeah, that's wild. That's great. I was like, you know, we talked about birthdays. And I said, mine is too. We happen to be born on the same birthday. Funny enough, our anniversary happened to be on the same day, too, as our marriage. There's no coincidences. I remember back when the president of American Airlines was, retiring, and they were bringing in a new one. And I remember about 3 weeks before that, I was thinking in my head, before I was taking a flight, I was like, I'd really like to meet the new president of American Airlines. That would be pretty cool. And I know that sounds kind of weird for somebody to want to do, but I did. And I said, you know, I'm thinking in my head, that would be really kind of cool. And so I board a flight to go to LA, and American Airlines was feeling very cool at that time. I think they were looking at me very kindly, and they put me in a first class seat. Man, I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. I'd prefer to do it on the flight back, but the flight there, that's cool too. The only problem is I couldn't have a drink, but other than that, that was good. And there's a man, so I'm sitting in the window seat, and there's a man sitting that comes and sits next to me on the aisle seat. And eventually we start talking, and lo and behold, it's the new president of American Airlines. Things just happen for a reason. If we're too busy being scared about strangers and danger and too scared to talk, we wouldn't even make that connection. We wouldn't have a chance to make those things a reality because we'd be too scared to talk to strangers. So let's talk about this stranger danger concept. I mean, what does a stranger really mean? What does it mean to be a stranger? And that's a question I have right now because I think that a lot of us don't really know what stranger means. Because what does it mean to be a stranger? So a stranger is a person whom one does not know or with whom one is not familiar. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. So basically it's saying that it's somebody you don't know or somebody you're not familiar with. Okay, great. So are they just supposed to stay somebody you don't know? Are they supposed to stay somebody that you're not that familiar with? Or are they allowed to come into your life into good graces? Because otherwise, the way I see it is if we continue to live our life with these people being strangers and these people being known, how are we ever going to make new friends? How are we able going to even take to that next level of learning about other people or cultures or civilization, for that matter, based on a protocol that was created as we were kids to stay away from strangers? You know, recently I was looking at Psychology Today, and I thought this was some interesting stuff. You know, about 200 to 300 children are abducted, unfortunately, 200 to 300 a year. And, you know, sadly enough, 50 of those children are murdered each year. And it was interesting because I was reading, it was Dr. Marilyn Hines, MD. Dr. Hines talked about how the greatest danger to children by far is actually a family member or another trusted individual, not the stranger. And I thought that was interesting, so I decided to read more because I wanted to know more. And so the data is echoed by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And according to their website, in a one-year period of time, 797,500 children younger than 18 were reported missing. 203,900 were children with the victims of family abductions. 58,210 children were the victims of non-family abductions, and only 115 of these children out of 797,000 were the victims of stereotypical kidnapping, where the kidnapping was a kidnapper was a stranger. Interesting. I mean, yeah, that starts leading into you to the concept of who can you trust, right? But seriously, think about it. When all of us were growing up as children, we were told to not talk to strangers. And I think that's interesting, too, because I always thought as a kid, you know, being like, think of that, only 115 of those victims were victims of stereotypical kidnapping by a stranger. 115 out of 797,000. And most of those were family. So you have some of them that, you know, were missing or exploited that, you know, came home, that were found, what have you. But most of these were taken by their family members. And I always looked at strangers as kind of a double thing. Think about it. A stranger could be a good person. A stranger could be a not so good person. A stranger could be somebody in the middle. But that stranger could also save your life. And I feel that when you kind of look at people and you say, okay, strangers, I mean, how many people do you prefer to have as strangers in your life, or how many people do you prefer to know? I prefer to know as many people as possible. Because you know what? I might learn something, but better yet, I might connect. Because we're only strangers until we connect, right? I mean, think about it. Half the people in your office, for the better part of the word, are strangers. You might talk to them, but do you really talk with them? Do you have anything in common? Do you care to know more about them? I mean, where are we at with this situation? And I think a lot of times we pat ourselves on the back a little bit much and say, oh, how great we are, da-da-da-da-da, based on whatever, but in actual factual evidence, when was the last time you went to lunch with these people? When was the last time you went to a graduation for their kid? When was the last time you talked to them about something more relevant than the copy machine? Think about it. Your life is only as good, only as deep, only as wonderful as you allow it to be. If you don't allow yourself to be deep and knowledgeable of people, how do you expect to take your life to a more richer, more rewarding level? My life is rich in the fact that I know people, and the fact that I can walk out of my office and know 20 people, and the fact that I can go to the grocery store and nobody's a stranger, and the fact that I can almost walk into everywhere in the whole world. And there might be places where I don't know somebody, but I'll tell you, it doesn't last for very long. I'll know everybody I want to know, or everybody that wants to know me, and vice versa, before the time I leave. I can't sit at a bar without meeting people, because I don't want to. I don't want to sit there and be quiet. I don't want to sit there and play on my iPhone because I'm too scared to be in the world. I don't like that kind of life. That's not what I want to do. I want to live, I want to love, and I want to learn. Stay tuned and return to me talking more about stranger danger, as well as the anxiety produced in society when we go outside of that and either try to make new friends or try to avoid it. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about stranger danger. We've been talking about how we have a difficulty of meeting new people. And I always have clients that come in the door. I know that's an always or never comment, but you know what? About 85% of the time, clients of mine are upset because they can't meet new people. They don't know where to meet people. They don't know where to meet somebody to go out on a date with. And so they end up following the constructs of the concept of the online dating pool. They do internet dating sites. And a lot of times, people prefer that because of the barrier. They're not having to deal face-to-face with people. They feel it's easier. But wouldn't it be more natural to just meet people? And I feel that we have disrupted the natural progression of life because for the most part, some of us are too scared So look up from the iPhone or the Samsung Galaxy and actually have a conversation with somebody that we don't know. I mean, to me, I think it's utterly refreshing to meet new people. I love it. I love meeting new people. I think it's wonderful. I love it. It's something I really like to do. And if that was taken away from me, I would feel like I was stuck. I mean, because I feel that the more people you know, the more interesting conversations you have, the more knowledge you get, the more enlightened you become. Isn't that true? If you never read another book and you never learn anything new, are you telling me that you're going to get smarter? Not likely. And I think that because of our upbringing with stranger danger, don't take things from strangers, don't talk to strangers, yada, 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 all that fear-based stuff. I mean, even the Bernstein Bears got in on this fear-based stuff. Come on now. Come on now. Seriously. And all this fear-based material about how we have to watch them take care of our own childhood because we could get taken, get snatched. And I know there's some kids out there that do get taken. And they get kidnapped. And it's an awful state of affairs. However, do we live our life in fear? Constant fear. Over 200. Think about that. 200? That's practically two in each state. You know how many millions and millions of people are in each state? Come on. I would rather take the risk of meeting people that I can better my life with, that I can understand, that I can actually have a good conversation with, that you know what, I might learn something from, good, bad, or indifferent, than not. And you know, I think that a lot of this anxiety that we have, social anxiety, begins from the concept of the childhood and the sheltered child and the stranger danger and being afraid of putting yourself out there. You know, because I think that a lot of it was taught by our family, taught by the school system, all that good stuff, the PSAs. But let's just take it to the next level. Let's say, okay, we took all the stranger danger stuff in. We went through all that. We understand it. Even then, we still went outside of ourselves and decided that we would meet new people. We put ourselves out there. We put ourselves out there and we got shot down. I think that a lot of people probably have their hands waved right now because you've been through the same process where you put yourself out there and you got shot down. Especially when you were a kid, that really sucked. Like, I mean, some of us had to go through therapy for it. Some of us were ridiculed for it. Some of us were bullied. And I think that because of that, it's hard for some people to put themselves back out there again. And you know, if I would have like shut myself down based on a few kids making fun of me, I definitely wouldn't be where I am right now. I mean, I'm not going to let those little idiot children, and you know, a lot of us were all idiot children at one time, but those particular punk idiot children, I'm not going to allow them to destroy a life that I can have. And I think some of us need to put in perspective the situation we're living right now. Are you living the life for you? Are you living the life that you're happy with? And you have to sit there and look at yourself and see how you feel. I recently had a client come in. And he told me that he felt raw. He told me that he felt naked. And that he felt completely exposed. And I asked him what he mean by completely exposed. Excuse me. Because I've been trying to figure out what that means. And he goes, I feel like I'm out there. I feel like I have nothing to hide from. I feel like I can't, I don't have any clothes on. And I go, well, I feel like we're supposed to be raw. And not like a raw nerve. I believe that we're supposed to feel, and I believe that we're supposed to some degree, be exposed. I think we are, and I think that a lot of times we miss the boat because we feel like we're supposed to hide behind some sort of facade. You know, we're supposed to hide behind our clothing, hide behind our persona to give us our life that we have. And a friend of mine that works with me made a really good example the other day, and I want to use this right now, because when they said it to me, I was like, that is a really good example of how to define the difference between being open and not realizing the need to be open. He talked about the concept of walking around barefoot. Think about it. When you walk around every day, all day, in shoes and socks and jeans and all that stuff going on, you don't feel the road. I mean, yeah, I mean, there might be some shoes that you have that you know, oh my gosh. You don't feel underneath your feet. You don't feel any of that. And so think about the first time that you go barefoot in a long period of time. It can hurt. You can walk on a pebble. You can walk on a branch. You can walk on some loose asphalt. Think about it. It can hurt. And you might go, ow, that hurt. But over time, the more you walk barefoot, the more you get used to it. The more you understand it. The more it's real. The more it's not anymore, I hurt. You like it. You get used to it. It's normal. Yeah, you might get a rock sometime. Might hurt a little bit, but you know what? That's life. It's the same people. That's the same concept of being open or being closed off. If you're open all the time and you're a genuine person, you're open and you are naked, you might say. Sure, there are some times that you might meet some people that you wish you hadn't met. Sure, you might find yourself in situations that aren't the best, but you know what? 8 out of 10 times, you're in a good place. You put yourself out there, you get to learn about other people, you get to learn about yourself. And that's the big thing, right? And just like going barefoot, there's sometimes that you might step on that rock and it might hurt. It might hurt. Sometimes you might even step on a piece of glass. That can hurt too. It might cut into the skin or it might not. You might get lucky. But most of the time, you're walking on a good quality terrain. And that's what life's about. About being open, allowing opportunity. And I think few of us realize the concept that when we do talk to, quote, strangers, we actually allow more of opportunity to be shed into our life. I have some really close friends that I love, and I love them forever, but one of the things they say is that you always have so many friends. You don't know a stranger. And I go, no, I don't. And they go, and you always have so much going on in your life. And I go, yeah, I do. And why I do is because I don't know a stranger. If I kept everybody at arm's length, away from me at all times, deriving some sort of safety from the fact that I'm not speaking to anybody, with my head down in the smartphone everywhere I go, I can't tell you how much countless stuff I would miss out on. I can't tell you how much countless stuff you're missing out on right now. I mean, when I'm on the phone, I try to get off the phone as fast as I can in public, because I know that if I'm on the phone, I'm missing out on meeting somebody, or I'm missing out on an experience, but one thing or another, I'm missing out. And that goes across the board for everybody. The more you stay wrapped up in your own world, away from other people, the more you will stay away from the truth of your life. Perspective, and the quality, authentic perspective, is based on the fact that you get to learn about other people, others' culture, nature, human consciousness, reason why people do things, the reason for the earth, your connectivity to the earth and the sun, your connectivity to everybody around you. Come on. That's what this is all about. And once you wrap your brain around that and wrap your heart around that and realize that there isn't really any strangers at all, you're then open to love and light. You're open to the light of people actually showing you, even mirroring you sometimes about you. And sometimes this can be a very amazing experience. very loving and true experience because you meet another person that's very loving and very authentic. And other times it can be mirroring you on another level of something that you might need to possibly work on. And, you know, like I said, you might meet some jerks out there. There are occasional jerks that float around. I can't sit there and say that everybody is authentic and everybody gets it. And you might meet some odd folks, too. But the benefits will always outweigh the cons. I mean, it's just the way it is. When you put yourself out there and you allow things to happen, opportunity will seek you. And if when opportunity knocks on that door in the form of another person, then you have it. If you overlook that and you're scared because they're a stranger, or you're a little stressed out or anxious about how you might look to them, let it go. And I know that that's easier said than done, but when we return, I am going to give you the pointers on how to let go of social anxiety and how to be authentic in meeting new people. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Your Hopes, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about how a lot of people have a tendency of telling me that they don't know how to meet people in their life. They said that it's really hard for them to meet people, that they always feel like they're kind of isolated. And I think that this goes back to the fact that we buy into the stranger danger concept. I mean, remember when we were kids and we went to school and people told us, you know, be careful, watch out for strangers? You remember when our parents, probably some of your parents told you this? I think my parents did a little bit. They didn't go overboard on it. But I did have some of my friends' parents go really crazy on the stranger danger thing. And I get it. But it's like, I think a lot of that stuff, a lot of those teachings, got made us all kind of a little edgy and a little scared. And so we avoided the strangers. And then throughout life, maybe we had a chance to expose ourselves or to meet new people and put ourselves out there. We might have gotten burned a couple of times. And so it seems to give creed to the stranger danger concept. And then some of us stop there because we go, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. And other of us said, nah, you know what? I don't care. I'm going after the gold. I'm going to meet as many people as I can. I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to do life. I'm going to do me some meat. And like I was talking about earlier, it's the concept of taking those shoes off and those socks off and walking barefoot. It's the same thing. When we walk barefoot, we feel things. We understand things. We feel where the earth is, where the ground is. We learn things. We understand things. We feel things. Just like when we take off our shoes and socks and go barefoot. Yes, there might be occasional rocks, but for the most part, we feel the earth and we feel the grass and we feel the sand or we feel the mud underneath our feet. And it can be a very amazing feeling. And the same account is when we allow ourselves to be real, to be open, to be authentic. We can also have those amazing feelings too. And yes, I'm not saying that you're never going to get hurt by somebody, that somebody's never going to take advantage of you. I can't say that. I can't say that. But what I can say is the more you put yourself out there, the more wise you become, the more joy you have in life, the more opportunity you get, the more opportunity you offer to other people. It's not all about us. It's about helping others as well. And the more people we know, we can help more people, because if somebody needs a job and we know that John or Mark or Mary need a job, and we know that Steven and Jason and Kyle are hiring, we can put them in a connection if it seems to work out. But if we don't know Kyle and we don't know Jason, we don't know anybody, we can't do much of anything for people. We can't help with opportunity. We're not an intro-making person. We're not there to help people find themselves. We're not there to help other people live. We're not even there to help our own selves with their opportunity. Instead, we're stuck in a rut. And I know that social anxiety is a direct correlation because when we were kids, we were taught not to talk to strangers. And when we did, we kind of felt guilty. So how do we let go of social anxiety? And I think the first thing we have to do is to align our values. Yes, when we were young, we were told not to talk to strangers. And because we've probably broken that promise, we felt guilty about it. And we don't realize that that guilt goes all the way back to our childhood. And so at some point, we have to change our values and say that it is okay to talk to strangers, that there's really no stranger, really. There's only people we don't know that well. And once we align ourselves with that knowledge base and that verbal and value agreement and mental agreement, we can then move on. You know, the second thing we can do to let go of social anxiety and to be authentic when we're meeting new people is to jump in. We got to just take the jump. You got to take the leap of faith and you just got to do it. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off. You got to do it. The more we wait, the scarier we get. I mean, there are certain situations where I've needed to meet somebody or do something that I was so scared because I waited so long that I couldn't make the connection. And so I don't want to find you in that situation where you feel like you are unable to move or to make an opportunity happen. So the first thing you want to do is just jump in. Don't worry about it. You know, and the way that you can start by talking to strangers is, hey, how you doing? It's real easy. It's not a really deep question, not deep issues. And they're normally going to respond back to you. And if they don't, they don't. But for the most part, people are going to talk because people like to talk. So a little background about the human condition is that we as humans like to talk. We as humans like to discuss things. We like to put things out there on the forefront and we like to discuss issues. We like to talk about how we feel. We like to learn about others. And we like to see if other people feel the same way as we do. So first off, jump in. After we've aligned our values and realized that it's okay to talk to people we don't know yet, we then jump in and just start doing it. It's like immersion therapy. The best way to learn Spanish is to go to Spain, right? It's not to sit here and listen to some tapes and get scared about talking in Spanish because we might not do it right. You'll never speak Spanish. If you're worried about not speaking Spanish right, okay, then you'll never speak it. If you're stuck listening to tapes, too scared to go in public and to speak in Spanish. And the great thing about going to Mexico or going to Spain is that, for the most part, if you don't talk in the language, people don't understand you. So it's immersion therapy. And so just think about it as the same deal. The next time you're at the bar or you're at a restaurant and you're by yourself and you start talking to people, just start. There's nothing that can happen. Just jump right in. The worst thing that somebody can do is not talk back. The second thing is to realize that you're not alone. You're really not alone. Most people have anxiety or have stress when it comes to talking to people they don't know. It's just the way it is. That's why most people cannot get up in front of a crowd and speak. That's why that's one of the most biggest fears of most all people is public speaking. Why is that? Because people are scared to talk to strangers. Not only are you talking to strangers, you're talking to a whole room of strangers. Think about it. That's why public speaking is one of the most terrifying situations that people find themselves in. So realize that you're not alone. And by realizing that you're not alone and that other people feel this way, you don't have to hang the moon with the conversation. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most articulate. You don't have to be the sexiest, the most interesting. You just need to be you. And if you can just be you and realize that everybody else is a little stressed out too, guess what? That's half the issue. Just jump in. When you realize that very few people are extremely open when they meet people, and very few people are able to actually just talk to strangers, then you understand that probably more like 90-something percent of the population is in the same boat. Okay? I'm one of those people that I've always talked to people my whole life. And the reason for it is because, you know, I had that deathbed wisdom. I've always been an outgoing person, but I had deathbed wisdom. I never knew if I was going to live another day. And so if I didn't know if I was going to be alive the next day, why would I keep all this stuff inside? Why wouldn't I want to learn? Why wouldn't I want to share with other people? And who's to know? You could meet the most amazing person of your life tomorrow, walking down the street because you said, hey, how are you doing? Seriously, that's all it takes. And your whole entire life can change. I mean, if we were supposed to be born with only the people we should talk to and that's it, then our lives would be pretty lame. We would have few opportunity and we would get stuck. And you know what? That's the thing, is that we can always meet new people. You can always find opportunity. And as you meet new people, you make opportunity and you learn about the societal situations. You learn about the human condition. You learn about yourself. That's what's so great, is that people mirror us in good and bad ways. They mirror us. They mirror our great traits, those traits that we love about ourselves. And they mirror those traits that sometimes we go, man, golly. But it's okay, because we learn about ourselves. And the more we learn about ourselves, the more authentic we can be. And the more authentic we are, the more authentic we can come into a conversation and get to know others. And that, to me, is awesome. The third thing that you can do to let go of social anxiety, to begin to let go of social anxiety, and to meet people authentically, is to realize that opportunity is put together with people. In order to have certain opportunities, you have to meet people. And sometimes in order to make those happen, you got to just get in the rhythm. Realize that the rhythm is not something that isn't you, it's part of you. And to realize that every single time that you avoid meeting somebody, every single time you avoid meeting somebody, you might lose out on an opportunity. This is something that needs to be thought about. The next time you walk into that grocery store, you get out of your car, the next time you go anywhere and you see somebody you don't know, wave and say, hey, how you doing? It's amazing how far this is going to go. And it might not go more than a few sentences, but guess what? You start learning the people around you. You start learning about them. You start recognizing them. And guess what? Your circle of friends and opportunity grows. It's with the amount of friends, it's with the relationships we have that create such an amazing, colorful life. And I hope that your life is very colorful and very amazing and very authentic. And in order to be that way, you got to jump in. You got to let go of the previous stranger danger thought process. You got to let go of the guilt that you're holding about breaking those bonds. And then you have to jump in, realize you're not alone, and understand that opportunity awaits. Stay tuned, because we have a great show for you next. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 3 shakes.